Hey, we're in this series called Holy Roar. And I believe there is a holy roar that is stirring in God's people. And I don't know if you've sensed it the last several Sundays, Pastor Brandon kicked us off, but I believe he is building a culture of praise here at Real Life Church. I'm believing that he wants to release, come on, the power of praise through our lives. We've defined it. Pastor Brandon helped us define it. Praise is making known the excellence, the glory, and the power of God. I added to that definition last week and said that praise is also an expression that points my life and those watching me to Jesus. So praise isn't just something that happens in God's house. Praise can be something that happens in my house. Praise can be something that happens on the job. Praise can be something that happens, come on the football field. Praise can be something that happens, come on the high school campus. Praise is an expression that points my life and those watching me to Jesus. We left off last week by saying we must allow praise, especially in this season, to be the first thing we do, not the last thing we do. We must allow praise to be our first response and not our last resort. We must allow praise to lead the way in our life, in our home, on our job, and listen, most importantly, because the world is watching in our church. And together, the expressions of our praise and what I believe that God wants to build here at Real Life Church will help us rise above the situations, the chaos, the confusion that causes everyone to complain. I want to talk to you about the second half of my message because I cut last week's message in half, building a culture of praise. When I was in high school, my senior year, before I got saved, there was a guy, his name was Johnny Jones. I played sports with Johnny when I was real young. When I was 5 or 6, I was on the city soccer team, the Slammers. And he was always kind of that kid just bouncing off the walls. Well, I kind of reconnected with Johnny again in high school. And Johnny came, he was brought up in a Christian home. But every time we would play pickup basketball with Johnny, every time he shot, he would shoot, and he would say, hallelujah, and he would run down, and sure enough, it'd swish every time. I'd be guarding him. I'd get my hand in his face, and he was a really good basketball player. And all of a sudden, he would juke me. He would jump shot. He'd say, hallelujah, and he'd just run back down. It was so frustrating. Every time he shot. And then I noticed when I was just hanging around the auditorium at our school, we had a central place where all the students gathered. Anytime something fun or good happened, he'd say, hallelujah. And I'd be like, what in the heck is a hallelujah? Well, on the night I gave my life to Christ, I found out that Johnny Jones went to the youth group that I was invited to that night, because the night I gave my heart to Jesus Christ, I looked over behind my left-hand shoulder, and Johnny was right behind me. Just, he's saying, praise the Lord, hallelujah, for my salvation. Come on. Now, a short time after that, we used to have this thing called Koinonia, and different parents in that youth group that I was a part of would host Koinonia. It was basically a Bible study for high schoolers. And I remember going over Johnny's house for the very first time, and his mom opened the door, and she was about 5 foot nothing, and she swung open the door, and guess what I was greeted by? Praise the Lord, hallelujah! I knew exactly what had happened to Johnny. You see, you might say that's weird, but listen, one thing as I was reflecting on that, as I prepared for my message, Johnny's mom had built a culture of praise in her home that it made its way to Johnny's heart. You see, church, praise is contagious. And in a season where there's a lot to complain about, there's a lot to gossip about, there's a lot to get offended about, we need to understand the power of praise to raise us above all the noise. And it leads me to my first point. Praise always precedes God's presence. You see, wherever you and I find God's people in praise, I don't know if you've went to churches that really have a culture of praise, but what you'll find them declaring and making known the excellence, the glory, and the power of God. It's an amazing atmosphere when people are declaring who He is, not just what He does for us, but who He is no matter what the season, who He is no matter what the crisis, who He is no matter what the diagnosis. They're making known the excellence and the glory and the power of Jesus Christ. Listen, even though many times we fall short of it, and in those atmospheres, and I believe it's the atmosphere that God wants to create here in real life, you will encounter the presence of God where His excellence, glory, and power are, listen, they're not only being declared, but they are revealed and they are experienced. An experience, a personal experience with the living God, a personal experience with Jehovah Rapha, your healer, a personal experience of God, our deliverer, our refuge, a personal experience where it's not just declared in worship, but it's revealed and we encounter the tangible presence of a living God. Praise always precedes God's presence. And last week I mentioned this, but as the sons of Israel, as they would camp around the tabernacle, I'm going to show you a picture here in just a second. Whenever they would break camp, whenever the children of Israel would break camp and head out to their next destination in the wilderness, Judah, which means now will I praise thee, Judah always went first. Numbers 2:9, all those who listed of the camp of Judah by their companies were 186,400. They shall set out first on the march. Everybody say first. You see, we have to realize as believers the important place that praise has in our life. Some scholars think that the camp of Israel, if you could put that, looked like this. Does that look familiar? Now, it was probably a little more boxier, a little more square than that. But isn't it incredible how the old always points to the new? Come on, the Old Testament points to the New Testament. The Old Covenant points to the New Covenant. And so what I want you to see is Judah was on the east side. This was the entryway into the camp. And when they would break camp, Judah, who was camped here, would lead out first, and the others would follow. This was the tabernacle where the presence of God is. I want you to see that to give you a visual. You see, praise, this is what I want you guys to get, praise must go first. When my praise goes first, listen, my thought life, my emotional life, anybody deal with emotions lately? All right, just me. All right. And my will is subjected to the presence of God, not the pressures of this world. I think I need to say that again. When my praise goes first, my thought life, my emotional life, and my will is subjected to the presence of God, not the pressures of this world. Psalm 103, you guys know this. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. That word bless is one of the seven words of praise that Pastor Brandon introduced to us on week number one of this series. That word bless means bow. Now, if we weren't on gravel today, I would invite everybody who could, and wet grass, I would invite everybody who could to get on their knees just for a moment. Because, listen to what it says now when you know what that word bless means. It means praise, right? There's seven Hebrew words for praise, and one of those words is barak. It means to bow. Listen to this. Bow to the Lord, O my soul. Bow to the Lord. Come on. Bow to the Lord, my mind, my will, and my... Let all that is within me bow to his holy name. Listen, we've got to yield to the power of praise. We can't be a people who are led by our emotions in this season. We can't, and I'm a feeler, y'all. Your pastor is a feeler. You could just ask the staff. They'll say, what do you think? I can't tell you what I think, but I can tell you what I feel. And sometimes, listen, I've got to start praising God to, listen, to get my mind, my wills, and emotions subjected to the presence of God. I can't be led by my feelings. I can't be led by false imaginations. I can't be led in this moment and in this hour by how I feel. Come on, I've got to praise God, come on, until I break through into his presence. You see, praise helps us yield to the reality of his presence. Listen to me, not the carnality of our preference. Praise will posture you and I, listen, to be a presence-led people, not people led by their emotions or their false imaginations or strong-willed, telling God what we're going to do. How many of you ever tried that before, right? Even this week as a staff, we put that into practice. We were having a strategy and planning meeting, and it ended up rolling over from Monday to Tuesday, and we started Tuesday morning, and Pastor Jesse said, hey, Pastor Dean, let's start off with 10 to 15 minutes of praise and worship. We turned on Maverick City. You guys like Maverick City? Those of you know Maverick City. We cranked it up, and for 15 minutes, listen, all we did was praised and prayed. That's all we did. Why? Because in this season, we don't need a good plan. We need God's plan. We don't need a good plan anymore. We need God's plan in this season. And it leads me to my second point, that praise is a weapon for the war that you and I are waging. You can see this in the tribe of Judah's history. When Israel went to war, Judah, listen, they were first to battle as well. Judges 1:1-2, after the death of Joshua, the people of Israel inquired of the Lord. Listen to me. If you don't think you have leadership in this hour, I just want to tell you right now, listen, just begin to praise him and God will lead you. After the death of Joshua, the people of Israel inquired of the Lord, who shall go up first for us against the Canaanites to fight against them? And the Lord said, Judah shall go up. Behold, I have given the land into his hand. Judges 20, verse 18, the people of Israel arose and went up to Bethel and inquired of God. You guys seeing a theme here? They inquired of God, who shall go up first for us to fight against the people of Benjamin? And the Lord said, Judah shall go up first. Listen, when you don't know what to do, how many know? Judah will go first. When you have more questions than answers, I'm here to encourage you. Let Judah go first. When you're asking yourself, why is this happening to me? Can I just encourage you? Let Judah go first. When you feel like nothing is going your way and no one is for you and everyone is against you, can I encourage you today, people of God, let Judah go first. Let praise go before you and make a way where there is no other way. Allow praise to fight for you. Don't fight praise. We sing it all the time. This is how I fight my battles. Do we know what we're singing? This is how we fight my battles. How are we fighting our battles? Through praise. Listen, something supernatural is released through praise. Through praise. Praise should be our weapon of choice as Christians because it reveals the wonder of who God is in the midst of the battle. And this is why Jesus in Luke 11 taught us to pray his name before we pray. He says, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." We've got to learn, listen, we've got to learn in this season how to call on the name of God. One of the things that I do in my prayer time is just declaring and praising God. I'll do this. God, you are my righteousness when everything seems to be going wrong. God, you're my sanctifier. Even though I'm walking through the fire, I will not be burned. God, you are my peace in the midst of the storm. God, you're my healer in the midst of the bad report. God, you are my victory even though I just experienced a loss. God, you're my provider though I've just been laid off. I begin to call on his name, and I begin to encounter who he is. You see, if I don't praise, if we don't use praise as a weapon, listen, my focus shifts off his wonder, and my soul, my mind, my will, and emotions will cause me to wander. See, we have a choice. Listen, we can be amazed at the wonder of God, or we can ignore praise, be ignorant, and we can wander in our relationship with God. Wander where he is. Come on. Wander where we're going. Wander what's going to happen in the future. Start questioning God, condemning ourselves with self-talk, causing us to meditate on the worst possible outcomes instead of what is possible with God. Let Judah go first, church. You know, when we lived in Folsom, we lived in the house for 15 years, and the last couple of years we were able to remodel our home, and we put hardwood floors throughout the house. It was a small house, only 1,200 square feet, and I'm the only early riser in my house. The only early riser in my house, and so I would get up early and go into the family room, which we only had a family room, and on the other side of the wall were all the bedrooms. And I would put in my earbuds, and I would just start dancing and singing softly. Little did I know, I was making a lot of noise. My feet, listen, were clattering on the hardwood floor. And my little whispers, because of the hardwood floor, were, listen, they were loud praises in the morning. And so my family, you guys, they were not happy with me. "Dad, what in the world are you doing?" You see, listen, what they didn't realize, but what I had to tell them is, listen, sometimes your public victories are a result of you prioritizing your praise in your private life. Listen, they might have not liked my personal praise time. Come on, hallelujah, glory to God. Come on. But what I wanted them to understand and learn, right, is that sometimes the public displays of victory are won in our personal prayer life. It leads me to my third point. Praise always points you and I to the new day that's coming. Here's another thing that I want you to see. If you could put that picture of the tabernacle, Ken, up on the screen. This right here. This was the east, the west, south, and north. Judah's camp was always towards the east. Look at this. The tribe of Judah always camped to the east of the tent of meeting, strategically positioned before the only entrance into the tabernacle. Numbers 2:3. It's all biblical. Those to camp on the east side towards the sunrise shall be of the standard of the camp of Judah by their companies. The place of Judah on the east is significant. Here's why. East, and it won't take you a lot to figure this out, is the place of the rising of the sun. Come on, the source of hope and sustenance. Westward, behind them, you guys, was the Red Sea. Israel's traditional stance was with, when they camped, was the sea was always in back of them. In other words, praise reminded them that the obstacles were behind them and that their biggest opportunities were before them. And can I just tell you, real life church, come on, we've been through some obstacles in 2020, but listen, the best opportunities for the church of Jesus Christ is before us. Proverbs 4:18, but the path of the righteous. How many righteous folks do I have here? Not religious, I said righteous. How many righteous folks do I have in here? Proverbs 4:18, the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn. It shines brighter until the full day. You see, the power of praise is that it points me to the promise of a new beginning, a fresh start, a new day in Jesus. Listen, some of you are here today, listen, and you need, come on, a fresh start, a new beginning, and a new day. Come on, it's been a long, long time. It's been almost 9 months. And God could, listen, he can bring a new day, a new beginning right now. Isaiah 58:8, then shall your light break forth like the dawn. And your healing shall spring up speedily. Your righteousness shall go before you, and the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. In other words, listen, the presence of God will go before you, and the presence of God will have your eyes back. Isaiah 61, verse 3, to all who mourn in Israel, he will give a crown of beauty for ashes, a joyous blessing instead of mourning, and festive praise. I love that. Festive praise instead of despair. My best friend Kevin, we prayed for him last week. Kevin actually, last week, rushed him to emergency. He almost died earlier this year. If you didn't know, he died. I've been kind of giving you guys some updates. Almost should have been not been here. Went to the emergency, and he went into this week on, I think it was Monday or Tuesday, he went in for a 14-hour surgery. 14 hours. It started early in the morning and went clear to 11:30 at night. I texted him yesterday just to see how he was doing, and this was his response. He said, brother, he said, this one was a long one. He said, for 14 hours, he said, my arms were pinned in one spot. He said, this one took a toll on me. But then he said, this one took a toll on me. And he said, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Kevin, do you know what you just went through? And he says, brother, I'm just glad I'm alive. I'm just glad, come on, I'm just glad that I made it to my 50th birthday. I just give God praise, come on, that he gives me doctors that can give me the solutions and do the right things and the reconstructive surgery. I'm just giving God praise that he's given me a new day, a fresh start, a new beginning. You see, if we choose to praise God now, come on, God will bring the new thing. He'll bring the new day, the new season, the new beginning. And I close with my fourth principle of praise. Praise will always lead you and I to a victorious life in Christ. In other words, praise will never lead you astray. Praise will always lead you and I to the tangible presence of the living God. Listen, I want to challenge everybody who's hearing my voice today. Listen, praise him and encounter the reality of who he is. Maybe this morning, listen, you need salvation. Listen, he's an awesome Savior when you get to know him personally. Maybe you need God to touch your body supernaturally. Listen, get to know the healer, Jesus our healer. Maybe you need deliverance. Come on, how many know he's a mighty good deliverer? Get to know it personally in your life. Praise always leads you and I to a victorious life in Christ. Numbers 2, 3, and B. It's the second half of the verse that I didn't read. But it says this. It says the chief, everybody say the chief. The chief of the people of Judah, being Nashon, the son of Aminadab. You guys are looking at me like I'm crazy, right? Isn't that powerful? You got like, who, what, where? The powerful thing about this, you have to realize, is that Jesus, come on, Jesus, everybody say Jesus, came from the tribe of Judah. Judah, listen, praise, Judah becomes the royal line of the Messiah. Not only because it was the most numerous tribe, but chiefly because from the tribe of Judah, Christ was to come. And the chief captain of that tribe of Judah was Nashon. And he's mentioned in Matthew chapter 1, verses 2 to 4. You can see this. He's in Jesus' family tree, y'all. This guy, you'll skip right over it if you don't see it. It's Nashon. And listen, I just want to read it for you. He says, this is the stuff that we never read, right? Verse 4, and Ram, the father of Aminadab, and Aminadab, the father of Nashon, and Nashon, the father of Sam. Right there in the genealogy I talked about last Christmas, remember the genealogy of grace, how Jesus' tree, his family tree, is filled with knuckleheads, come on, and ragamuffins. But right here we see Nashon. And Nashon, I want you guys to get this. He was the leader. Imagine the pressure, y'all. Come on. When camp, when they had to go to the next town and journey in the wilderness, come on, he was responsible for getting everybody ready. How many of you know that could be a task right there? When they went to battle, Nashon, he had the privilege of being first on the front lines. Come on, how many know that takes boldness and courage? Come on, this guy was an amazing leader, and he was responsible to make sure that praise went first. Now, could you imagine having that responsibility? Almost a million people, come on, that you're leading. Imagine the weight. Imagine having to make that decision. Imagine the tension that he was always experiencing. Well, you know that we're outnumbered. Yeah, I know, but God said Judah's got to go first. Well, can I tell you that as leaders and as believers, we have that same responsibility. Nashon, listen to this, means oracle. Or one that foretells. In other words, as leaders and believers, when we make sure that praise goes first, we're like Nashon. When we make sure that praise goes first, we prophesy our victory in Christ. When we make sure that praise goes first, we declare our destiny before we get there. When we make sure, come on, as leaders and believers, that praise goes first, we foretell of our promise before we even possess it. Why? Because praise leads me to victory in Jesus Christ, even when the odds are stacked against me. Praise aligns me to receive every spiritual blessing that's a part of Christ's inheritance for every believer, and that's you and I. I'm not special. You all are entitled to the inheritance of the saints. And just like Johnny Jones' mom, come on, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Can you just say that right now? Come on. With every hand lifted, come on, can you just say praise the Lord? Hallelujah. Come on, right in the face of your circumstance. Come on, right in the face. Come on, in your undecisiveness, right in the face. Come on, of the mountain that's not moving at the moment. Can you just say, praise the Lord, hallelujah. Come on, can we release a praise? Can we release a holy roar in this place today? Just like Johnny Jones' mom's praise the Lord, hallelujah, from her lips, it became a legacy in the hearts of her kids. And that's what God is wanting to build here. I believe God wants our praise, listen, to perpetuate his promises from generation to generation at RLC. So when the future generations look back at 2020, listen, what will they say about us? What will they say about you and I as they look, come on the website where it says about us or where it says about our history? Will it say, well, they almost made it through 2020? Will they say, well, they were so stuck to their traditional ways, they didn't quite make it to 2021? Or will they say they allowed praise to elevate them? Come on, above the chaos, above the confusion. Come on, above the madness. Will they say, were they swallowed up by their complaining and murmuring? Or did they rise above it all through praise? If Christ be for us, who can be against us? Can I challenge you today? Can you release that holy roar? Come on, that's been stirring in you. Listen, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I just want to say, I don't know what you are facing. I don't know what your circumstance is. But I know there's been discouragement. There's been emotional things that have come at you. Is there anybody in here that you would say, you know what? I need to allow praise to go first. I need to allow Jesus, come on, to make a way. Is there anybody in here you would just say, yes, 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 and yes, 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 yes. I need Jesus right now. Listen, can we just all stand to our feet right now? And I'm going to ask Pastor Brandon to lead us in a holy roar, brother. We need a holy roar. Listen, I want to pray this prayer. We're going to go into a time of praise. Let's pray this. Say, dear Lord Jesus, we give you praise. We give the excellence, the glory, and the power that's due your name. Reveal yourself to me in this season and give me a new day, a new beginning, and a fresh start. In Jesus' name, can you shout praise the Lord? Hallelujah!